When Sam was almost 4 years old, his folks, who just couldn't make a go of it in Florida, Missouri, moved the family a short distance to a village nestled on the west bank of the Mississippi River, Hannibal, Missouri.
That's Garrison Keillor. He's one of an eclectic mix of celebrities who appear on the new compilation Mark Twain, Words and Music, released in September by the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum in Hannibal, Missouri. Cindy Lovell is the executive director of the museum and co-produced the compilation.
We put together this beautiful story. We've got narration, spoken word, and music. And what we did was we used story segments, and we told Mark Twain's life sequentially. But then after you hear each little story segment, is then followed by a corresponding song.
Lovell's a bluegrass fan, and she and co-producer Carl Jackson brought on a lineup of country musicians, including Brad Paisley and Sheryl Crow.
Clint Eastwood came on to play Mark Twain, and he does a beautiful job. There are parts where it's so funny and you laugh, and there are other parts where you will hear Clint Eastwood crying.
Only 4 hours ago, I sat by her bedside while Clara and Jean were at dinner, and she was bright and cheerful. Only 4 hours ago. And now there she lies, white. And still.
We also have Jimmy Buffett as Huckleberry Finn.
And I about made up my mind to pray and see if I couldn't try to quit being the kind of a boy I was and be better. So I kneeled down, but the words wouldn't come. You can't pray a lie. I found that out.
The museum is the center of the Twain tourism industry here in Hannibal. Now, thanks to Twain, Hannibal is ingrained in the memory of Americans from Maine to California as the American small town. But like many tourist towns, Hannibal swells up during the summer and then goes into hibernation in the winter, when the locals regroup, rest, and prepare. So, let's take a walk, and let's explore along the way how literature and place come together here. We'll start on the banks of the Mississippi River. Well, technically on the Mississippi.
This is called our wharf boat. It acts as our dock, our gift shop, our ticket shop, all that kind of thing. It stays here all the time, unless we have high water and we have to move it out.
I'm getting ready to board the Mark Twain riverboat with its captain, Steve Terry.
Step on board the boat.
We're in the harbor, but the boat's not going anywhere today. Most people only see the ship's dining room in pristine condition, but today they're renovating, and Steve and his crew have pulled up the rich burgundy carpet, leaving the floor exposed as it's being sanded. In a few days, Steve and his crew will sail the boat downriver to St. Louis.
Going to be going into the shipyard here next week and having some renovations done and hopefully some new engines and things like that.
In the summer, they can fit up to 400 people on the riverboat at a time.
Three sightseeings and a dinner every day.
We walk out onto the third deck, climb the stairs to look out over a cold, gray, windy fall day.
Of course, on the days when it's in the low 80s and the sun's shining, the breeze blowing, here on the third deck, everybody loves to be up here.
And overlooking it all.
Going to the heart of the operation here. This is when my wife, who does the ticket sales and stuff downstairs, about cruise time, she sends me to my room. This is my room.
The pilot house, the enclosed room at the helm of the riverboat, with the ship's steering wheel and all the navigational equipment. When Samuel Clemens was a riverboat pilot in his 20s, he would work in a room like this. Sometimes he still does, but it's a lot different these days.
And once in a great while, one of our Mark Twains will come aboard and greet the people and talk. And they usually like to come to the pilot house for photo sessions and stuff. People just love that. They love to get the picture of Mark Twain behind the wheel.
Today, the riverboat is a chance for tourists to witness a replica of history. Now, that's important, but it's a real boat, and it can really sail, even with a Mark Twain impersonator in the pilot house. The real Samuel Clemens became Mark Twain on a boat like this. Mark Twain. The sound of a leadsman's cry as he sank his line on the river.
One fathom, borderless Twain, Mark Twain.
Let's walk away from the riverboat, down the path next to the river. Come to the train tracks, if there's a train. And there usually is, especially during the day when they run almost once every half hour. Wait. Look up Hill Street and you're looking at the house where Mark Twain spent most of his childhood. The stories in Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn were based on his experiences here as a kid. Now it's a museum, of course. Let's take a look. It might not be going too far to say this town has built a good part of its livelihood around stories told by this one man. While it's got a fair bit of history itself, it's put all its chips in with Tom Sawyer, Becky Thatcher, and Huckleberry Finn, and it's Cindy Lovell's job to keep Twain and Hannibal visible in the public's imagination.
2010 was a big year because it was a confluence of Twain anniversaries. We had the 100th anniversary of his death, of course, which commemorated the release of his autobiography. We had the 175th anniversary of his birth and the 125th anniversary of Huckleberry Finn. So, of course, we had a lot of worldwide media attention. 2011, not so much.
Lovell says the tourism industry is slow across the country. The economy, gas prices, and in Hannibal's case, a Mississippi River flood in the spring kept some tourists home. But the truly dedicated still come.
There are always people wanting to make their pilgrimage to Hannibal. Twain has followers, and they are followers. They are more than fans, and they are from all around the globe.
Lovell says the true followers see past the superficial.
And yes, people do think, oh, whitewash fence, you know, straw hat, corncob pipe. At one level, you get that. And then you get the level of people who've actually read him. And then you have the people who come to Hannibal and stand out here on the bank of the river and cry.
Lovell says the true followers see past the superficial, the white-haired old man with the cigar, the barefoot kids in overalls. And the more they've read, the more meaningful it can be.
For instance, we had this Twain conference earlier this year, our first ever scholarly Twain conference. Now, these are research people. These are university people, for the most part, who read and publish and research. And yet, when they got here, they were absolutely children, and they were delighted. And out on the riverboat, we had a full moon that night, and you know, some of the fellows were smoking cigars, and they were just all getting in touch with their inner Huckleberry.
But for locals, it can be hard to escape Twain's name and face enough to get that perspective. After all, he's everywhere here.
For Hannibal, I can understand when you grow up in a place and all you see is this guy on a billboard and the Mark Twain Cement Company, the Mark Twain Dinette.
Mark Twain Feed and Supply, Mark Twain Printers, Mark Twain Taxi, Mark Twain Behavioral Health Center, Mark Twain Auto and Tire Repair.
The Mark Twain Title Company, the Mark Twain this, the Mark Twain that. You know, it might be a little overkill, and I get that.
A lot of others seem to get it, too.
I remember my son saying, Mom, doesn't it bother you the way they pimp out Mark Twain everywhere?
But no Huck Finn car wash, because, you know, that would go against the Huck Finn character, wouldn't it? But it's all about marketing.
That's Ken Marks, who curates the Hannibal History Museum with his wife, Lisa.
And, you know, you see that even going back into the 40s. If you go into some of the state directories, you'll start seeing it pop up a little bit in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, it becomes shorthand. Mark Twain used to become shorthand for Hannibal.
Marx is a specialist in all of Hannibal's history, including the birth of tourism here. When Twain died, everyone had read about the town. Some even visited, but the boom took time.
The way we think of tourism today wasn't what tourism was like back then.
Then in the 1930s, the WPA and a local businessman gave Hannibal the funds to promote Twain's boyhood home.
That was really when you started seeing it turn and become the town of Twain.
Right now it's mid-November in Hannibal, the slow season. Not as many tourists as there are locals on the streets, but a few folks are still visiting. I met up with a Boy Scout troop outside the Twain House, Pack 255 from Mokane, Missouri. That's a tiny farm town in Callaway County in north-central Missouri. Travis Bates is their scout leader.
We figured it would be good because we got first through fifth graders here, and several of them are actually reading the books in school. So we figured it would be nice for them to come up and see where he come from and, you know, everything that he'd done and where he lived at.
What'd you guys think of the books?
Good.
You don't know?
Good. Very good.
That's Davin, Travis's son, one of the youngest kids here.
What kind of stuff have you seen already?
I've seen all his glasses and the big guy in the one place. So they all...
Davin just got distracted and ran away. But other kids volunteer descriptions.
There's a, like, thing, like one of those old-timer vehicles built out of a small thing, like those boats.
A corncob pipe.
It's
he's smoking.
And there's a lot, we saw like some pennies in a fake pond. We saw a couple pictures, and then we watched a movie.
He found out about this cave, or Twain Cave. He's dead now, but...
Well, it was about a wrap because we sat on a rock and it was wild.
Oh my God, dolphin!
Across the street, a few more seasoned readers are checking out a house billed as the Becky Thatcher House. Lisa Tebrink and Amy Birch are passing through from Iowa, but they're old fans of the books. Here's Tebrink.
My dad actually read Tom Sawyer to us probably every night before he went to bed for years.
And some of the scenes they read about are coming back to them as they walk through Hannibal. Here's Birch.
You grow up reading about these characters and they become real to you. It's really nice to be able to come and tour places to make it seem like these characters were alive. It makes it special. It makes it magical.
But walk down Main Street, past Twain's boyhood home and the district around it, and Hannibal is a real town, a river town with a life all its own. The social heart of downtown is here, Java Jive, which bills itself as the oldest coffee shop west of the Mississippi.
Is that too low, or do we want to put new ones in that are a little bit higher?
I love these projects we get stuck with.
The city's Christmas festival is today, and employees are hanging decorations over the cafe's front door. Inside, the place is buzzing with locals. Lynn Ayers spends a lot of time here. Her daughter Katie owns the place, and she's a lifelong Hannibal resident.
I am definitely a river rat.
She reads Twain. She loves his work, but she doubts many others in town care that much.
You would think so, but that's not really true, unfortunately.
She says store owners and cultural ambassadors like Lovell and Marks are working hard, but a lot of locals still shy away from Twain. Maybe that's because they'd been exposed to the image, but not the text.
Joe on the street, they really can't give you the quotes, they can't give you the books, and it's really unfortunate because he was such a wonderful writer. Oh, Lordy.
Neil Urbach is Ayers' father and regular at Java Jive.
About every morning, this table's full of a group of people that settle the world's problems.
He's been around Hannibal as long as anyone.
On the whole, the people of Hannibal are glad that Mark Twain made his home here for all the years he did.
And even those who don't read him benefit from the money the city brings in from tourists.
I think people in the whole really enjoy the tourists. You'll find those that don't, but they don't enjoy anything.
Some people don't.
We're living in a town. We're famous for some cartoon characters, a woman that survived off the Titanic, and a drunk.
Bitter old man who squandered all his money.
Nathan Powell and Sarah Sanders are part of the younger generation of Hannibal residents. They may sound harsh, but don't rush judgment. Maybe Sarah has a reason to be spiteful.
I should know. I'm related to him.
You're related to Mark Twain?
Mm-hmm. He's a cousin on my father's side.
So you would have been rich if not for Mark Twain's failed business ventures.
Exactly.
Twain's ancestors may hold a grudge, but some locals are a little more forgiving. It's a Saturday night, lots of young people out of the bars on Main Street, so let's grab one and see what he thinks. A group of guys stumble out of a bar for a smoke. Now, this guy won't give me his name. Let's call him Tom. Tom's a little uncertain about talking to me in his present state, but when I ask him to talk about Mark Twain, he pontificates.
Well, he was also known as the most hated man at his time, but the comic of his time.
Tom's a bit of a rabble-rouser himself. He might not be crazy about growing up surrounded by literary tourists and whitewashed fences, but in the end, he'll stick up for Twain.
I have to say, I appreciate his genius. What do you say, fellas? He wasn't but I love him.
Not the most eloquent defense. Maybe not the best for polite society, but maybe at least a little bit in spirit with the creator of Huckleberry Finn. But Lovell says Hannibal residents like these are the hardest audience to reach.
For some, there's kind of a saturation of Mark Twain, and they don't really know Mark Twain. They just sort of know that the figure is everywhere, and maybe it's, you know, comfortable, or maybe they're dismissive.
But she always remembers what's most important.
100 years, we're going to be dead and gone. People won't remember Cindy Lovell. I don't care about that. As long as they're remembering and reading his works, the world will be a better place.
The audio compilation has been a big success for the museum. But 176 years after Twain's birth, not that much changes in Hannibal. The devoted show up every year. When they're gone, some people here roll their eyes. But others, the ones who know Mark Twain is more than the image, stay busy, keep working, thinking of new projects, new plans. Maybe even take some time to go back and read an old favorite. Davis Donovan, KBIA News.